Deep toward right center field. Does he hit number three? He has. Ben Rice, Cohasset, Massachusetts, Dartmouth College. Three home run game against the Red Sox. Wow. 14-4 Yankees. A line shot deep into the right center field seats. Well, he had one home run. That was Thursday in his big league career. Now he's got four.
Well, if he's going to do it a game like this, right? A blowout here for the Yankees, and he's a big part of it.
Two three-run homers off Anderson.
Yeah. Seven RBIs on the day, a three-home run game. Ben Rice from Cohasset against the Boston Red Sox. What a moment for him. What a moment for his family back home watching this game. They're going to give him a standing ovation, a little curtain call. They're trying to get him to come out of that dugout, tip his cap, and he does. What a moment for him.
WEEI, good Sunday to you. It's KJ Carson, 617-779-7937, text line 37937. So I'll say this first. Very happy for the local kid, done good, Ben Rice hitting three home runs yesterday against the Red Sox, but I will remind you that Lou Maloney hit a home run in his very first at bat in the major leagues too. Okay, I know I'm reaching for something there, but look, this is the explanation, and you just saw the demonstration yesterday at Yankee Stadium of why Breslow needs to get on the horn and start putting some type of package together to handle some of this frontline pitching. Look, Josh Winkowski was out of pitches after about 40 pitches, and he threw 66 of them. Probably 15 too many, and the game got out of hand. Bernardino? Yeah, you saw what happened there. Weiser? Boy, that was a great Caleb Ort impersonation he did. And then poor Anderson. I mean, he's got to throw at least one ball. The first ball he throws, it goes out of the park from Ben Rice. 617-779-7937. Text line 37937. Got my producer Nico with me here this morning. We've got a classic NFL parody. We'll dig into the archives to remind you of it might get better now with Drake May as your future of the quarterback. Plus, who may be in line to buy the Celtics, plus bets to the future. That's all here this morning. I'm here up till 12 noon. So after what happened Friday night, and we'll get to that in a little bit here, you felt like, okay, the Red Sox are on this roll. And I think they still are, right? You can't win them all. But the way you lose yesterday, seven runs in the fifth, four runs in the seventh. Let's just say you don't give up 11 runs over that three-inning span because it felt a lot like a few years ago. And you give up just one. It's a 4-4 game. And you had already gotten Garrett Cole out of the game. See, that's the issue. When you get to someone like Garrett Cole, you've got to take advantage of what you have going on there. And look, the Red Sox weren't playing horrible baseball until, you know, like I said, Winkowski was in there maybe 10 pitches, 15 pitches too long. But the conundrum was like, okay, we're not even 4 or 5 innings in. So, and I think the bullpen still was a little bit, maybe a little bit rusty from that last game in Miami. And so I think some things have to be done. But there were some interesting dynamics in yesterday's game that says maybe this is starting to peek its head as a rivalry again. First, Verdugo hits the long home run over center field. And, he takes forever. He might be just rounding third right now. And I'm thinking like, yeah, probably take as much time as you were standing out in center field talking to Chaim Bloom, trying to overthrow Alex Cora when you were here. And then Devers with the ultimate, I mean, that wasn't a bat flip, that was a throw. Here's Alex, Rafael Devers' thought. That was Rafael Devers with the bat throw. But here's Alex Cora's thought on what he saw happen occur there.
Did you take exception to Verdugo's slow trot around the base?
Nah, man. Like, I think that slow trot in this for us, and we didn't care, right? We let him do it. So, if we were okay with it in our team, we should be okay with it. In another team, they should be okay too with Rafi doing what he did. You know, at this point, it really doesn't matter, right? We know that. You know, we saw it last year with Dodgers. You know, when he hit those three home runs. So yeah, I'm okay.
Yeah, I mean, you kind of like the juice that's going on right now between the Red Sox and the Yankees. You like it a little bit because the Red Sox pretty much are the no names in this whole battle, right? And that stare down from Garrett Cole to Rafael Devers, you're like, okay, bro, like, I mean, he hit a seat off of you before. And congratulations on Rafael Devers with his 1,000th hit. But man, it seems like it took him a long time to get to 1,000. It's just so many things have happened over the times. But you feel like there is a little bit of juice to this rivalry again with these young, scrappy Red Sox players who will now, you know, jump around on the base paths, intimidate pitchers. And that's going to be key for this team. I thought going into the season, I just had a feeling that management was not going to be one of those guys or one of those teams that overspend and go more speed and defense. Now, the defense part is still having to come along. But when you've got Hamilton and you've got Duran, I think combined for about 50 stolen bases at this point, you're saying, okay, you can now get some things done that can upset the game. But, you know, Hamilton and Duran, I mean, one hit between the two and 8 at-bats yesterday with 3 Ks. You know, at least you have something that at the top of the lineup for the Red Sox can make teams wonder, could they pay attention fully and find out, you know, these guys are running around on the base pass. 617-779-7937, text line 37937. Yeah, even it was just a strange game, Nico. Even when Juan Soto gets called out on taking too much time in the batter's box, you felt like it was part of the energy, the kind of the bravado that was going on in the game when it was still competitive.
Yeah, and honestly, KJ, I was here working the game. That felt like the slowest game of all time. Like, it was poor baseball up until the Yankees opening up in the fifth inning. I didn't think either team was playing all that great. I don't think either team's played great in this series.
Well,
I thought the first game was a drag, too.
Well, here's the thing. That's how the Red Sox are probably going to win a lot of their games, right? They don't have a lot of bop. They don't have people that you're like, oh, my gosh, if I pitch around this guy, I got to face this guy. It's really like if you can get around Devers, then everything else is negotiable in the lineup. And when you look at just yesterday, Devers is the only one, along with McGuire, are your multiple hit guys yesterday. So if you're like, okay, if we can afford Devers, we will. But if at the same time we can pitch around him, I mean, he's got half of your RBIs yesterday. Yoshida had one. McGuire had another. So you've always got to scrap. So I like this scrappiness of the Red Sox where if you told me at the beginning of the season, like with 2 weeks, about a week and a half before the All-Star game, the team will be closer to 50 wins than they were to 40, say, 45 wins, I would say, oh, wow, they must be doing something really right, being 8 games above 500. Now, this isn't like the 21 team that I think ended up like 16 games over. That was like 16 games over 500, you know, at the break. But you also had a lot of boppers on that team. You still had real players that can beat you if one of them wasn't getting it done. This is a team like, you know, hey, look, you're going to almost need Rafi every single game, but it's going to now be contingent on the speed on the base pass. Duran, Hamilton, Rafaela, those guys, you know, if you're talking about going 0 for 4, 1 for 3, 0 for 5, that slows down the machine considerably. And if you told me like, okay, wow, your speed portion of the order only got one hit and no walks, and they still scored 4 runs, I'd be like, well, wow. Rafi must have gone off, and guess what? Rafi did kind of go off. So I like the scrappiness. I'm not going to – yesterday was an anomaly, but at the same time, it's stuff we've seen. Those middle innings, when things start to get a little weird, the bullpen is just not getting strikes over. I mean, Weissert, it was just kind of like, man, maybe if you just straighten up that left foot, maybe just pull it back a half inch, maybe that sweeper or slider will come across the plate and not drop down, you know, for inside balls. So that's I'm not really upset about yesterday's loss. It's frustrating, especially when a local kid hits 3 home runs. And again, I would remind you, Lou Maloney did hit a home run his first game. No, this wasn't Ben Hill's first game. But, you know, sometimes those big moments. And this would be fun, though. If it brings a new name into the mix of it, it's kind of like Bruce Brown going up against the Celtics back when he was playing for the Nets. It was just like, oh, man, that's a local guy. What if he was – we should have him. If Ben Rice gets in the middle of this conversation as well and he's playing for the Yankees and going up, like, hey, that adds to the rivalry of the scrappiness of some of the lesser-known names getting in the mix of it. 617-779-7937. Text line 37937. Let's go to Sorja. Yeah, there you go. Sorja in Mansfield. Sorja, thanks for calling WEEI. Good Sunday morning to you.
He literally just dropped off.
Oh,
he lost connection.
Okay, well, yeah, I'm so sorry about that. I see you pop up, and then I go to you, and then you come back. I mean, look, you can call back if you want. So when you've got a situation where the Red Sox are better than they're supposed to be, that's where they are right now. Alex Cora has done a magnificent job getting these guys to buy in, where last year, and this goes to that Verdugo trot, right? It's like, okay, Verdugo, yeah, you find yourself in a proverbial better spot, but the spot that you left, you really stunk up the place. I mean, it's funny seeing him without his facial hair, and I'm not making a personal statement, but maybe I am, but it's almost like that discipline that the Yankees make that you can't wear a full beard, where here it looked like, oh my gosh, he had every piece of food from the 99 in his beard when he's coming to the plate. It's like, dude, can you trim that a little bit? It just felt like, okay, Verdugo, yeah, you're the one that's slow trotting around the bases and trying to show up Alex Cora and the Red Sox, but you're also the same Alex Verdugo that had to be told by your manager, allegedly, several times, can you get to work on time? That's it. That says a lot right there. If that's the guy who's trying to point out at you, like, nah, 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 boo, boo, but was the guy who couldn't get to work on time, I wouldn't be bothered at all if I was Alex Cora as well. But I do want, if Verdugo's in there tonight, I want to see someone get him some sweet chin music, kind of a la Shawn Michaels. Just a reminder. Oh, yeah, buddy. Try that trot crap again. See, that's what makes the Yankees-Red Sox rivalry so desirous. It's just like, I want to see retaliation, especially with a rubber game, right? Because if the Red Sox had lost Friday night, and they were on the verge of doing it, can you play the Yoshida cut for me real quick?
Another payoff pitch, eighth pitch of the at-bat. Here it is. Swing and a drive to right field, deep. Back toward the warning track, into the wall, and it is gone! Awesome. Yoshida has tied the game with a two-run homer in the ninth inning. Can you believe it?
Oh, Massa!
If that doesn't happen, what is my conversation this morning? Red Sox lose a close one Friday night, get blown out on Saturday, trying to salvage tonight's game to not get swept. This is what's enjoyable about this scrappy Red Sox team. This is why I can't be mad at a loss yesterday. I mean, think about it. I'd be tighter in my chest if it was a 5-4 game and they lost the game the way that they won the game on Friday night. That'd be tougher to take. 14-4, you're like, okay, you know what? Guys just don't have it. But the scary thing is, giving up 11 runs in those middle frames is a problem. And that's why, you know, Red Sox got Trey Wigginger. Whittinger from the Tigers organization, AAA. And I think what Breslow sees in this guy is that he's got a pretty high strikeout rate to innings. So if we're talking about needing to get an out in the middle innings, we need one of those guys. But again, they'll see what he could do at minors and then possibly bring him up. He has played at the major league level when he was with San Diego and flashed a bit in 2019. So I hate to use that term that, you know, that we used to use about Heim Bloom, like, if he can get back to his 2019 year, it's like, no, can we get four outs? If we need you to get four outs, because that was the problem yesterday. Guys in the middle frames could not get outs. And we'll get into some of the starting line pitcher that they probably need to get to as well. But I can't really be mad at this point. What they get done tonight against Lucas G, it will be key. And what are you going to get out of Cutter Crawford tonight? That's just going to be the real issue. 617-779-7937. Text line 37937. KJWEEI on your Sunday. It's time to trend with Nico.
It's KJ Carson on WEEI.
Download the Odyssey app and listen on demand anytime.
What would you see from Weiser?
Yeah, I mean, trying to spin the ball, wasn't able to land it. You know, the thought process with the intentional walk, we fell behind, and we knew we were thinking the bullpen, kind of like base loaded, one bullet, get a ground ball to a play, we didn't get it. We got the walk. We still were in the game, and LeMahieu got the hit. So I think it's more about strike throwing. We've been talking about staying ahead, getting ahead, staying ahead. And with him, you know, if you look at the numbers, you know, first pitch strikes, percentage is low. He gets back in the count, but, you know, he has to work for it.
Yeah. KJ here with you on a Sunday. WEEI, good morning. 617-779-7937. Text line 37937. That's Alex Cora just discussing Weiser didn't have it yesterday. Weiser didn't have it in that Miami series. And this goes to the frustration that I think that fans are going to have if something is not done at the trade deadline to really shore up either the front of the rotation or solidify the middle of the rotation. Now, solidifying the middle of the rotation is probably going to mean getting two people. Getting a frontline starter means that you can bump one of those guys, maybe even Weicker or something like that, into that middle where you feel like, okay, they can get me maybe six quality outs. I know I can get six outs from this guy if I move him out of that top rotation and into that middle, into the middle to help out. Because, look, the guys were lights out. The pitching staff were lights out the beginning of the season at just above a 3 ERA. It's gone up over probably a point and a quarter over the last month. And I thought that would happen just because, just like facing a lineup in the order three times. I mean, think about it. If you just take how the Major League schedule is set up and divided by six, that means that around each third trip around, people know what you're up to. And so we're in that third trip around in the first half where, okay, if you had something that excelled in frame one and frame two, frame three they may get caught up with, and that's what you're seeing happening right now with the pitching staff, with the Red Sox a little bit here. Now, I'm not going to discount the Miami series. Miami is a very poor offensive team. They're one of the worst teams in the league. But you do what you had to do. You jump on them heavy in those first two games. You kind of get slowed down in that third game. It goes to extra innings. Then your first game with the Yankees goes to extra innings. So you pretty much play 22 innings instead of 18 in back-to-back days. So I get it. Your pitching staff, especially your middle relievers, aren't going to be a bit worn. And if your starter in Winkowski only gives you about, like, what, 3 2/3 yesterday, that puts even more stress on the pen, and that's what you saw. So it'll be interesting how things continue to play out, because once you get to the All-Star break after the series with the Royals, which is now seeming to be a little less interesting, unless the Red Sox make it interesting, the Royals have lost three in a row. They're now a game and a half behind the Red Sox for that third wild card position. So a week and a half ago, the conversation was like, okay, can this team get to that third wild card spot? So hats off to Alex Cora. He's gotten them to that spot. So now you have to, if you're management, upper management, you have to think, okay, a week and a half ago, 10 days ago, we're thinking like, okay, can we get some pieces together to show that we can secure the number three wild card? Well, now the number two wild card is in play, only a game and a half behind the Minnesota Twins. And if you beat the Yankees tonight, the Yankees would only be 4.5 games ahead of you. So with the Yankees still in sight, plus you've got the A's coming to town right after this Yankee series, and then Kansas City coming to town, and Kansas City is, oh gosh, 8 games under 500 on the road. And then the Oakland A's, which is everything under everything on home and the road, but they are 21 games under 500 on the road. So your next 6 games after tonight, You could be a half game out of, or you could be, I don't think the Yankees could lose five in a row. But just realistically, the Red Sox could be maybe a game and a half to 2 games out of the top wild card spot. And now you're having a conversation, you're like, you're right behind the Yankees. So tonight's win, getting this rubber match tonight is so key for this team that you have to say, all right, what else does Cora have to prove? What else do these guys have to prove to management to say, you got to make some type of move, even if it means you burn one of your farmhands. And here's why: you pretty much have farmhands plus for the entire team. You're still going to have to address what you're going to do when Trevor Story comes back. What do you get back? Is he just DH quality? How much money you're spending? You're still watching to see how Yoshida's progressing, or is there a permanent regression? Look, Friday night felt very good, but I think it was only like his 43rd game this year. So you want to see if what you're giving him is a little too much. Does someone see value in him? I think you'd have to determine that here over the next 6 games. So if you're the Red Sox front office, you don't want to potentially give Alex Cora the song and dance the way he's been given the song and dance over the last few years about getting help at the trade deadline when the team was doing more than they were expected to do. 617-779-7937. Text line 37937. KJ here on WEEI until noon. Still to come, we'll be talking about the Patriots, and there may be help on the way for Drake May as a receiver that someone leaked. They might be interested, and they could be a cap casualty. I'll tell you about that in about 15 minutes. So if the Red Sox can maintain what they've been able to do, let's just say they get to 54 wins at the All-Star break. Now you're talking about a team that would be, what, 54 and, well, it's not the exact half number, but they would be 54 and 41. So 13 games over 500, which would absolutely be insane. So what I'm saying is, out of their next seven games, if they win six of them, which is a real possibility, I can't see how you can't go and make a move for a major line starter. And you got it because... do you think they're going to win the World Series, KJ? No. Do you think they could win maybe two rounds? Yeah, absolutely, right? I mean, that's what the 21 team did. They got themselves all the way to the ALCS. Houston was just an absolute beast at the time. But let's say you're the Red Sox and you see the Yankees, the Yankees are able to catch the Orioles because they're only two games between each other. So you would feel like, hey, if we see the Orioles or the Yankees towards the end of this, you would feel better about that than saying, or even if you feel like, I mean, even though Cleveland has been so impressive this year and it's a little bit different, but the other teams are so weak. The Mariners only seven games over 500. They don't even have 50 wins. If you put the Mariners in any other division, they would only be one game ahead of the Red Sox. One game behind Minnesota. One game ahead of the Royals. So with a weaker AL this year, outside of the Orioles and the Yankees and the Guardians, the Red Sox, you should probably feel like we could pull off like what the Phillies did a couple years ago. Or we could pull off what Arizona did last year. You've got the speed. Speed kills and it disrupts. A lot of major league pitchers are not really designed to have any type of move to first because let's just call it what it is, man. Over the last 15, 20 years, the speed element has not been part of the game. And you would say, like, the Red Sox are the ones that could use that to their advantage. I would be concerned about Houston crawling behind in the wild card, but I think this is at a point where you say, hey, we can't worry about what's going on behind us. Royals a game and a half struggling. Houston, they're 7-3, so they're just coming off a win streak in their last 10. And then the Rays have just been bubbling under, and their biggest issue is their run difference is almost is over minus 50. So if I'm the Red Sox, I'm Alex Cora, I'm kind of saying, hey, look, Craig Breslow, what moves can we make? What's realistic? This is what we need right now. You need another bat too. I would like to, because here's the thing. I would love to see Tyler O'Neill be able to platoon at DH or get more of the DH, especially if you're thinking about what you're going to do with Yoshida. Yeah, I know he's been on a little streak. Yeah, I know he hit a key home run. It looked like it was good. Like, hey, he's back. But you have to look at the big picture. Like, anything you feel about Yoshida right now is micro. I think they've got to look at the macro. If you can get another outfielder with a bat, because if you've got O'Neill out there and you've got Abreu out there, you'd almost feel like, okay, if we could get another outfielder who can provide a bat, then we could platoon probably Abreu, or we could platoon Tyler O'Neill, and then have Rhett Snyder in that mix for left-handers as well. When Cassis comes back, who knows? But I don't think he's on the... I disagree with anybody who says, like, oh, just go for Vladimir Guerrero and trade Cassis. I'm like, I can't see that. So still continue to go scrappy. I don't know if you're going to get, if it was like a big bat or a big arm, I don't think you're able to get both without giving up a bigger piece. Maybe someone says, okay, we can give you a high quality arm and a pretty decent bat in exchange for Yoshida. Maybe you're the Dodgers, you have someone on your roster. One of your pitchers is just not coming through. Maybe you offer up him and maybe a prospect that's a bat. I mean, there are different ways that you can look at this for the Red Sox, but I think the most important thing is getting another arm that can help and making sure that those middle innings like you saw yesterday don't happen 5, 6, 7. Well, 6, they didn't give up anything, but 7-4 and 5th in the 7th inning. I mean, absolutely kills the game. 617-779-7937. Text line 37937. All right, coming up, bets to the future. We'll look at NFL futures and how things look for who's going where, how many losses for the Patriots. Nico, do you buy that 4.5 is the amount of wins for the Patriots? Does that seem like a low number to you?
I think 4.5 seems slightly low to me.
Yeah, last year I think there was kind of a trap because I think the start of the season, the over-under for the Patriots was 6.5 games. And last year I really believed that, six games, they would win only six games, if best, and they won 5. So it'd be interesting how that all plays out in terms of Jerod Mayer's leadership. I'll talk a little bit later about Matthew Judon and some of the comments or the responses on Twitter, which let's just call it what it is. I it's so toxic up there, I would stay away from even just saying hello. Is he really saying he's in hell and that O is in pain? Like, it's just not beneficial for anybody. It's crazy. It's the one sport. NBA, NFL guys get on Twitter. You ever see guys from Major League Baseball up on Twitter like that? You never do. Like, they figured something out, maybe because they've got so many damn games to play. Like, do you really have time to be tweeting? Yeah, like, think about it. Who's a big MLB tweeter that's a player?
Well, the MLB, KJ, they're one of their biggest issues is they just don't have personality in general. Like, no one's online, but these guys are, I would say, out of all the sports, the four major ones, like,
right.
The MLB guys are probably the least engaging with fans.
Well, but at the same time, they also get the least amount of toxicity, right?
Depends who you are, right?
Well, think about what's the worst thing that you've seen happen in each sport based on something that was based off of something on social media? So I would say from the football side is seeing it get so bad that some guys want to fight Cam Newton at the 7-on-7 camp. You remember that video?
Yes.
Yeah, so it's like, you're Cam Newton, former MVP of the league, and because of something that went down on social media, you're now finding yourself in a physical confrontation. I think tweets regarding the NFL may be a little bit more toxic. No, the NBA is the most toxic of the three. Because constantly you're saying something. And here's the thing, even with LeBron's son being drafted and so forth, they were pretty visceral. The people have been pretty visceral with the NBA stuff. But with Major League Baseball, I don't even chalk that up to them not having a personality. I just think it's like, hey, if you don't touch the third rail or you never touch the hot stove, you won't get burned. And so a lot of these guys don't get burned. Think about it. Mookie Betts could be a polarizing figure for some fans across baseball, but because he doesn't put himself out on the proverbial cross, it doesn't happen. Maybe Shohei Ohtani has gotten the most, but has never responded. Has he said any? I mean, more times if you say, I need an interpreter, but he was just getting hit. No, nobody's come after him. Verdugo would be one of those guys that if he was on social media, people would be flaming him. He would be, but because he's not really up there. And the other part of it, I think it is because many of these guys are not American born. So culturally, they're not going to. And for right reasons, right? So you would say, okay, what if they got up there and flashed some of their stuff? Some of these guys, people come after them like they're rappers. You'd be like, they did what? So they don't post that stuff up there. Whether they like to flash or not, people know that they have wealth and will come after them if they flaunt it. So I think some of those guys know that, where I think, say, with the American player in the NBA or in the NFL, they feel like, okay, because, especially in the NFL where you wear a helmet, I got to let people know who I am because they don't really see me. But in the NBA, it's just absolutely out of control. But in terms of, the Red Sox, in terms of what they need to do, I think Alex Cora's really got the ship under control. Last year at this time, we were just kind of like, oh my gosh, how many songs was I doing about Chaim Bloom? Chaim Bloom sitting on his hands. I was surprised that management did not come to me and say, KJ, back off. I'll be honest with you. I mean, Nico, I've only had, how many parodies have I had to pull? I know one I had to pull. I had to pull one about Bill Belichick. It only played once. So I was just surprised at how heavy-handed a lot of us were here on the station over the last couple of years. Even some people starting to question, saying, there's no way that Alex Cora is a top five manager. I was like, okay, do you see what I was getting at now? it was just absolutely brutal the last couple of years. And this is why I think management really has to say, if we don't do right by Alex Cora and this team that he's managed and this environment, forget about this, this environment he's had to manage. And if you just say, how's it going back? How's it going for the last 5 years for Alex Cora? You know, inside of one of those 5 years, he was suspended for the year. So if I'm Alex Cora, I'm like, you know what? Damn it, put up or shut up or I'm out of here. 617-779-7937, text line 37937. We'll get your text shortly. Let's go to Matt in Rhode Island. Matt, thanks for calling WEEI. Good Sunday to you.
Hey, what's up, KJ?
You man. As well.
Breslow, do your job. Do your job. The last, I don't know if this is his first year, but the last three or four trade deadlines have been absolutely embarrassing.
Yeah.
I'm not expecting high-end people, but you need arms. You were just saying, you need arms in here now. You got to make the trade, and hopefully, you know, you have spotted some. There's a couple guys in Miami. I mean, obviously, you go to teams that are really struggling and make some deals. Yeah, a bat would help too, but I think you really need pitching. And you got to do this team right.
Matt, thanks for the call. You too, man. I totally agree. In fact, when the A's come to town, if I'm Breslow, I'm sitting up there like with Belichick with the binoculars gift, just watching all that young people. It's like, that guy would be ideal over here. Like, after the game, son, would you like to come play in Boston? 617-779-7937. Let's go to Sorja in Mansfield. Sorja, thanks for the return call. You're on the air.
KJ, how you doing, my man?
Good, man. Good to hear from you, brother.
You as well. Sorry about the drop call earlier, but yeah, just really quick here. With the Red Sox and Yankees, I think Friday and Saturday tells you two stories, right?
Mm.
I mean, I was watching the game with my buddies, and like, what was it, full count? And then you just get that comeback, and then coming back in extra innings.
Yeah.
And then Saturday was like the reality, right? Like, Friday is like, you're looking at FanDuel, like, Red Sox to win World Series plus 6,000. And then Saturday, like, the reality kind of set in, right? But there's just no excuses anymore for this team not to invest in this team a little bit. You know, there's like a statistic out there where like LeBron in his career has like the most trades, most draft picks, like
most head coaches,
Prez
stuff like that.
Do his jobs. Yeah. Prez needs to do his job, and it just kind of goes up to down, right? Like Henry needs to let Kennedy do his job. Kennedy needs to let Prez do his job. And what's really concerning for me is I keep hearing, like, when Kennedy is on the Greg Hill Show in the morning, they always say that the Cora decision is up to Prez. And I just keep feel like, I just hate, you know, like when someone's lying to you and you just tell them, like, listen, like, we weren't born yesterday, right? I just don't want to lose a good manager like Alex Cora because we've been through the Bobby Valentine days. We've been through the Ron Renegade days. Like, you cannot afford to lose a good manager like Alex Cora, because if you give him a competent roster, you know what he's capable of. Thank you, KJ.
Sure, thanks for the call, man. Yeah, let me work backwards because he's absolutely right. If Alex Cora walks with this currently constructed roster, who comes running for the job? Who takes the job? This almost feels like more like a Ron Renegade roster right now that you have here in place. Remember the days you're like, well, you know, JD Martinez is going to walk, and do you keep Xander, and you got Rafi, and, you know, like, do you stay after a couple of guys, you know? Now it's kind of like, damn, it's Rafi and the Jets, right? That's where you're at. And if Alex Cora can have this team 8 games over .500, and let's just call it what it is. I think he wants to stay, but he's going to want to be shown that you're going to be building when the price is low. Now, John Henry's in an interesting conundrum, and I'll get to how he, you know, the Shaughnessy article about different people who might be in play and John Henry with the Celtics and so forth. I mean, I can't speak for him right now, but if I'm trying to sell Liverpool and I've been rumored to possibly try and buy the Celtics, maybe I just go ahead, you know, and say, maybe I spend a little bit on the Red Sox with everything going on right now. Like, it's like, hey, because that's the low price item right now, that you're not overburdened with salary. You know, the Trevor Story situation, I think you might have to remedy that quick, you know, like, and he's right. And John Henry is right. Sam Kennedy makes the decisions. Owners do not usually sit there in front of a bunch of people. You know, they might talk to a couple people You know, but they don't sit in front of a bunch of people and say, I want this person, I want that person. I think Jerry Jones has kind of painted a kind of like a Mr. Burns from The Simpsons in our head that he's going to be saying there and saying specific players' names. So like if they had like a decision room like they have on NFL draft night, like John Henry would be sitting in there, but he's not saying, oh yeah, what do you think about the guy out of Auburn? I've been watching him for 2 years. No, that's not the conversation. It's almost like I pay you to trust your judgment to make these moves. I just think that and here's the thing about Breslow needing to do his job. Like now really is kind of like his first day on the job, because this is the big thing that was the difference between the last person in this place and him now. Are you going to be like Heim Bloom and go find the guys that need Band-Aids and Neosporins? Now, don't get me wrong. Paxton turned out to be okay. I'm trying to think of some of the bloom flowers off the bloom that were able to rehab themselves. But Paxton is the one that kind of comes to mind that, you know, like, okay, you got something out of James Paxton. But there were other ones there. What's the guy with the wet hair that, what is he? I can't think of his name. But he's not here. Long hair. Starts with S. I can't remember, because there's somebody like the Sarah Moras and all these guys just were not working at all. Now this is going to be Breslow's chance to start going after these pieces that you say, okay, Cora gave you kind of a replica of 2021 with less talent, and you have a chance to make a real run in a week. This is called an entire week league in the American League. Really, it's everything is top heavy with the Yankees and the Orioles, and you don't really seem to be too scared of the Yankees. So that's good. And that's why, look, the slow moves, you want to do those first, but at the same time, you don't want to wait to make your deals until the trade deadline, the last day, and potentially get burned and say, okay, it's like when you have college homework. Like, you've been given the assignment for 2 weeks, and then here it is 3 days before the assignment's due. You're like, okay, let me start getting onto this. No, you've got it. Really, as soon as you get the assignment that day, you're like, okay, let me highlight which chapters I need to read. Okay, maybe I'll read the last chapter first and work my way back. And then maybe middle of that project, I'll read front to back. And then when if I'm ready to do the paper, at least I've got all the research and know what I need to do 4 or 5 days before the project's due. I might even have it done 2 days just in case I need to make some corrections. So I think it's starting to happen now. Clearly, it'd be interesting if Breslow or Kennedy get on the Greg Hill show between now and the end of the Kansas City series, considering these two series say a lot for what the Red Sox could potentially do moving forward. A, you've got the A's coming into town, and this is where you have to tell yourself in a positive reinforcement way, we got to sweep those damn guys. And then B, the Royals, who are that final series before you get to the All-Star break, they're the wild card team immediately behind you, and you say, if we can get 2 out of 3 or sweep them as well, we now put the Royals almost completely out of the picture. We may be the number two, we probably be the number two wild card spot, and we may only be a game and a half to 2 games behind the Yankees, which means, ta-da, we'd be in the conversation of the AL East title. So all those things are in play right now. I believe Breslow is doing these things. Clearly, he's not going to be giving out a report every day. 617-779-7937, text line 37937. It's KJ here on WEEI. We'll get to bets to the future next. Thanks for hanging out on Sunday.
Get Boston Sports Original on the go.
Wherever you go.
Just download the Odyssey app.
We're right back to it. It's KJ Carson on WEEI.
Uh-huh. Let that rock, Nico. KJWEEI. Good Sunday to you. 617-779-7937. Text line 37937. Still to come, we got to talk about like this just incredible conversation going on about the Celtics and Wick's portion being for sale, and then what his portion really is. The Shaughnessy article like really has people talking about Shaughnessy like everybody's on Shaughnessy side. That would be a great sitcom. Everybody loves Shaughnessy suddenly, because that's damn near a 50-50 thing for some people. That's just fascinating. And I look at some of the potential pieces from the financial standpoint I know what people want to happen in their hearts, but remember, this is all about what's in the pocketbook. Well, a wallet. Well, it could be pocketbook too. Man purse, whatever. Damn it, you get what I'm saying. Plus, I have a little more hope for the Patriots than I probably have had. I probably would say since I've been here at the station, and that's been 3 years. And it's not necessarily because I think that Drake May is the savior. I think we saw John the Baptist first in Mac Jones. Like, okay, just gotta cut this guy's head off. Maybe I shouldn't do this on a Sunday. So I watched this crazy movie last night. It's called The Story of OnlyFans and Courtney Clenny. Now, if you may not know who Courtney Clenny is, Nico, about three years ago, OnlyFans star killed her boyfriend and then claimed that she had been abused, and then video came out that she was just absolutely a lunatic. She said that in self-defense, she threw a knife at her boyfriend and it stabbed him. I'm thinking, that's a superpower if you can throw a knife from a distance and stab somebody. I've never seen that before, but it was just fascinating to see. I don't know. Here, this is what I came away from it, because I've never done OnlyFans. I know people talk about it. I see people suggest people get one. It's just really the desperation of quite a few young men that exist right now who do not know how to talk to girls. And so this is what they do. Wouldn't you find it a bit spooky, Nico, that let's just say I'm a particular foreign country and I say, you know what? I'm going to go buy OnlyFans and control all the data, have access to all the data, all the photos that have been uploaded, and I've got the credit card information of everybody who's ever subscribed. And I'm a foreign adversary to this country.
No, I would say you should definitely be concerned, but I think the audience they have, KJ, probably isn't even considering that at all.
But that's how wars are being fought now. They're not manufacturing, you know, handmade bullets. You don't have Betsy Ross's great 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 granddaughter making bullets somewhere over in Holyoke. Nah, this is how they fight now. I was like, what if someone comes with an amazing offer? Hey, OnlyFans, we will give you $3 billion to turn everything over to us. Financial information, photos, identities, IPs. That would freak me out. Now, some would say, well, you could do that already with everything going on, but I don't have my clothes off with my phone. I mean, it's just absolutely fascinating. And then what was funny about this was they were talking about, I guess, this girl, what I forget, Bella something, she used to be on Disney, and she had teased that she was going to open an OnlyFans page and made $2 million just before she even uploaded any photo. And it was just like, and people were mad. And the people were mad. They were like, well, it's not fair. I take off my clothes too, just because they're famous and they make all that money. I was like, wow, we are really losing the mental war in the world. We're getting our asses kicked.
We lost that about 10 years ago.
I mean, I think it's like, it's one thing, right? If you're, let's say you're some sports site, okay? And you have all these people that talk and everything, sports or whatever. No foreign entity is going to come and say, you know what? We want to go after all these guys that talk about sports because that's something we can blackmail and use. Because, you know, like, hey, I can make my own money on OnlyFans. New company comes in and starts putting all that stuff out for free. I'm not getting paid. I'm just saying, like, how do you fall for the setup? Damn. We got to do better. 617-779-7937. Text line 37937. Bets to the future. Next, what do you have on the text line, Nico?
We have a texter who wanted to talk about Alex Verdugo. Their text says, I was a fan of Verdugo when he played for the Sox, but he was straight up walking around the bases after his home run. Dude deserves to get drilled at this point. Old school baseball on national TV, we all win.
Yeah, you want to do the plunking in prime time. So you don't do it to him in the first inning. You want that plunk to happen somewhere around 8:15, 8:30. With first pitch is at 7 o'clock?
7:10. If you do throw at Verdugo, though, they're 100% going to throw at Devers, because Devers say a similar thing to Verdugo in response.
Well, then I guess the other part of that is, do you want Devers thrown out? He's on the 15-day DL. No! It's a careful thing you have to watch. You know, the way you used to be able to do it, if you didn't want to throw to a guy and if he got on first, you just kept throwing over to first, just making him keep dive back. Just, you know, like you could subtly try and plunk him diving back to first. You know, that's real old school baseball right there. Just make him get dirty, constantly get on his belly, skin himself up, get a ball that kind of hits him or comes near him, so that way you could smack him with the glove, like on the head. Like, okay, so I played a little dirty. I had a little Ty Cobb in me. So what? Yeah, I'm not a fan. When Verdugo was brought here, everybody was still kind of reeling of like, you know, gosh, Mookie's gone. What's going to help? And he helped a little bit, but I was kind of like, oh, who is this guy? And then, you know, I mean, he's mid. I mean, that's what he's mid. And you put him on the Yankees, he can hide and be a mid. But when he was here, he was a mid that you depended on to do something, and sometimes he didn't do it. And sometimes he would flash, but he can be the best mid he can be playing for the Yankees. Verdugo is probably the third or maybe the fourth name that comes out of your mouth regarding that team. But when he was here, he was like the first, he was like the second name coming out of your mouth. So, you know, go be mid with the Yankees. You do mid things. I mean, if you have to be told as a grown man to be on time, to come to work, and your job is, it's not like you're doing pothole construction or repair. You know what I mean, Nico? It's like, if sometimes when these Boston summers can get intense, and, you know, you're like, man, we're going to be how many floors up? I might get in here a little bit late today if I know I'm going to be in that sun. That's something different. But when you play baseball on grass, like, think about it. Your job really only requires you to hit or throw the ball. And you can't show up to work on time for that? Man, that's bull jive. All right, let's get into Bets to the Future. Hit it.
You're up right now. Ride it out.
Too many mouth is.
You mean bet?
Yeah. How about 10?
Seems a little steep, but 10,000 it is.
Not 10,000. $10.
The future. I want to look at some NFL futures, and there's an interesting story developing at BetMGM in terms of where there might be some advantageous plays, and this is an interesting story, and I'll start from it at the top. AP Comeback Player of the Year. Here are your choices. Aaron Rodgers plus 130, Joe Burrow plus 240, Kirk Cousins at 5-1, Anthony Richardson at 7-1, Nick Chubb at 12-1. So while I would say, hey, Nick Chubb would be an interesting take at 12-1, you would say he probably doesn't win it, because you would say for him to win it, Cleveland would probably have to win that division. I don't know if they win the AFC North. But Aaron Rodgers at plus 130? What that probably is saying, that Aaron Rodgers is doing something fascinating during the season, and the Jets may even be a division winner or a top wild card. So Aaron Rodgers as a potential comeback player of the year at plus 130 is interesting, because when you look at the AP Coach of the Year, get past Eberflus at 9-1 or Jim Harbaugh at 10-1, Raheem Morris at 10-1, LaFleur at 14-1, Stecken at 14-1, DeMarco Ryans at 14-1, Robert Saleh at 18-1. So if Aaron Rodgers is the favorite for the comeback player of the year, then why not take Robert Saleh as the AP Coach of the Year? Because there's a good chance that Aaron Rodgers does so well that he's the comeback player of the year. All right, so let's move to the Offensive Rookie of the Year. You got a pretty interesting layout here. Caleb Williams at plus 125, Jaden Daniels at 6-1, Marvin Jr. 7.5-1, Malik Nabers 16-1, J.J. McCarthy 18-1, Shine's favorite, Drake May 25-1. I like Marvin Harrison Jr. at 7.5-1 because I don't think Caleb Williams is going to be as successful as people think in Chicago this year. And Jaden Daniels just has pretty much a bad team around him there in Washington. At least Marvin Harrison Jr. has an NFL quarterback, whether you like Kyler Murray or not. At least you know that he's been able to throw balls and knows the NFL offense. So Marvin Harrison Jr. at plus 750. All right. Also looking at the MVP, Patrick Mahomes at 5-1, Josh Allen at 9-1, Joe Burrow 9-1, CJ Stroud 10-1, Lamar Jackson 12-1, Justin Herbert 14-1, so is Jordan Love, Dak Prescott at 16-1, Brock Purdy at 16-1, Hurts, Stafford 16 and 20-1, Aaron Rodgers 20-1. So if Aaron Rodgers is the AP Comeback Player of the Year, and Robert Saleh could be the Coach of the Year at 18-1, why not take Aaron Rodgers as the MVP at 20-1? Because it would be kind of like that story that they messed up with the year where Brady threw for 5,000 yards and he still wasn't the MVP. I'm like, dude, the guy's 800 years old and is about to win and is damn near taking his team to the Super Bowl again. All right, so who wins the AFC? The Chiefs at plus 300 or 3-1. followed by the Ravens at 5.5-1, Bills at 7.5-1, Bengals at 7.5-1, Texans at 7.5, Jets at 1,200, Dolphins at 1,200. Why are the Dolphins and the Jets at the same number to win the AFC unless they believe one of these two teams will have a strong showing? I think the safe money, though, is with the Chiefs at plus 300. And then the AFC, NFC, the 49ers at plus 275. And I don't think anybody else is really in the mix. Maybe the Lions at 5.5 you look at. Chiefs to win the Super Bowl 6-1. 49ers 6.5. Ravens 10-1. Lions 12-1. I like the Chiefs to win it again at 6-1. All right, the next hour of me here on WEEI, KJ Carson, next Sunday.
Get Boston Sports Original on the go.
Wherever you go.
Just download the Odyssey app.
We're right back to it. It's KJ Carson on WEEI.
Uh-huh. Let that rock, Nico. KJWEEI. Good Sunday to you. 617-779-7937. Text line 37937. Still to come, we got to talk about like this just incredible conversation going on about the Celtics and Wick's portion being for sale, and then what his portion really is. The Shaughnessy article like really has people talking about Shaughnessy like in a everybody's on Shaughnessy side. That would be a great sitcom. Everybody loves Shaughnessy suddenly, because that's damn near a 50-50 thing for some people. That's just fascinating. And I look at some of the potential pieces from the financial standpoint that it, I know what people want to happen in their hearts, but remember, this is all about what's in the pocketbook. Well, a wallet. Well, it could be pocketbook too. What? Man purse, whatever. Damn it, you get what I'm saying. Plus, I have a little more hope for the Patriots than I probably have had. I probably would say since I've been here at the station, and that's been 3 years. And it's not necessarily because I think that Drake May is the savior. I think we saw John the Baptist first in Mac Jones. Like, okay, you just got to cut this guy's head off. Maybe I shouldn't do this on a Sunday. I watched this crazy movie last night. It's called The Story of OnlyFans and Courtney Clenny. Now, if you may not know who Courtney Clenny is, Nico, about three years ago, OnlyFans star killed her boyfriend. And then claimed that she had been abused, and then video came out that she was just absolutely a lunatic. She said that in self-defense, she threw a knife at her boyfriend and it stabbed him. I'm thinking, that's a superpower if you can throw a knife from a distance and stab somebody. I've never seen that before, but it was just fascinating to see. I don't know. This is what I came away from it, because I've never done OnlyFans. I know people talk about it. I see people suggest people get one. It's just really the desperation of quite a few young men that exist right now who do not know how to talk to girls. And so this is what they do. Wouldn't you find it a bit spooky, Nico, that let's just say I'm a particular foreign country and I say, you know what? I'm going to go buy OnlyFans and control all the data, have access to all the data, all the photos that have been uploaded. And I've got the credit card information of everybody who's ever subscribed. And let's say I'm a foreign adversary to this country.
No, I would say you should definitely be concerned, but I think the audience they have, KJ, probably isn't even considering that at all.
But that's how wars are being fought now. They're not manufacturing, you know, handmade bullets. You don't have Betsy Ross's great 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 granddaughter making bullets somewhere over in Holyoke. Nah, this is how they fight now. I was like, what if someone comes with an amazing offer? Hey, OnlyFans, we will give you $3 billion to turn everything over to us. Financial information, photos, identities, IPs. That would freak me out. Now, some would say, well, you can do that already with everything going on, but I don't have my clothes off with my phone. I mean, it's just absolutely fascinating. And then what was funny about this was they were talking about, I guess, this girl, what I forget, Bella something, she used to be on Disney, and she had teased that she was going to open an OnlyFans page and made $2 million just before she even uploaded any photo. And it was just like, and people were mad. And the people were mad. They were like, well, it's not fair. I take off my clothes too. just because they're famous and they make all that money. I was like, wow, we are really losing the mental war in the world. We're getting our asses kicked.
We lost that about 10 years ago.
I mean, I think it's like, it's one thing, right? If you're, let's say you're some sports site, okay? And you have all these people that talk and everything, sports or whatever. No foreign entity is going to come and say, you know what? We want to go after all these guys that talk about sports because that's something we can blackmail and use. Because, you know, like, hey, I can make my own money on OnlyFans. New company comes in and starts putting all that stuff out for free. I'm not getting paid. I'm just saying, like, how do you fall for the setup? Damn, we got to do better. 617-779-7937, text line 37937. Bets to the future next. What do you have on the text line, Nico?
We have a texter who wanted to talk about Alex Verdugo. Their text says, I was a fan of Verdugo when he played for the Sox, but he was straight up walking around the bases after his home run. Dude deserves to get drilled at this point. Old school baseball on national TV, we all win.
Yeah, you want to do the plunking in prime time, so you don't do it to him in the first inning. You want that plunk to happen somewhere around 8:15, 8:30. What, first pitch is at 7 o'clock?
7:10. If you do throw at Verdugo, though, they're 100% going to throw at Devers because Devers say a similar thing to Verdugo in response.
Well, then I guess the other part of that is, do you want Devers thrown out? He's on the 15-day DL. No! It's a careful thing you have to watch. You know, the way you used to be able to do it, if you didn't want to throw to a guy and if he got on first, you just kept throwing over to first, just making him keep dive back. Just, you know, like you could subtly try and plunk him diving back to first. You know, that's real old school baseball right there. Just make him get dirty, constantly get on his belly, skin himself up, get a ball that kind of hits him or comes near him so that way you could smack him with the glove like on the head. Like, okay, so I played a little dirty. I had a little Ty Cobb in me. So what? Yeah, I'm not a fan. When Verdugo was brought here, everybody was still kind of reeling of like, you know, gosh, Mookie's gone. What's going to help? And he helped a little bit, but I was kind of like, oh, who is this guy? And then, you know, I mean, he's mid. I mean, that's what he's mid. And you put him on the Yankees, he can hide and be a mid. But when he was here, he was a mid that you depended on to do something, and sometimes he didn't do it. And sometimes he would flash, but he can be the best mid he can be playing for the Yankees. Verdugo is probably the third or maybe the fourth name that comes out of your mouth regarding that team. But when he was here, he was like the first, he was like the second name coming out of your mouth. So, you know, go be mid with the Yankees. You do mid things. I mean, if you have to be told as a grown man to be on time, to come to work, and your job is, it's not like you're doing pothole construction or repair. You know what I mean, Nico? It's like if sometimes when these Boston summers can get intense and, you know, you're like, man, we're going to be how many floors up? I might get in here a little bit late today if I know I'm going to be in that sun. That's something different. But when you play baseball on grass, like think about it. Your job really only requires you to hit or throw the ball. And you can't show up to work on time for that? Man, that's bull jive. All right, let's get into bets to the future. Hit it.
You're up right now. Ride it out.
Too many in your mouth is.
You mean bet?
Yeah. How about 10?
Seems a little steep, but 10,000 it is.
Not 10,000. $10.
The future. I want to look at some NFL futures, and there's an interesting story developing at BetMGM in terms of where there might be some advantageous plays, and this is an interesting story, and I'll start from it at the top. AP Comeback Player of the Year. Here are your choices. Aaron Rodgers plus 130, Joe Burrow plus 240, Kirk Cousins at 5-1, Anthony Richardson at 7-1, Nick Chubb at 12-1. So while I would say, hey, Nick Chubb would be an interesting take at 12-1, you would say he probably doesn't win it because you would say for him to win it, Cleveland would probably have to win that division. I don't know if they win the AFC North. But Aaron Rodgers at plus 130? What that probably is saying, that Aaron Rodgers is doing something fascinating during the season, and the Jets may even be a division winner or a top wild card. So Aaron Rodgers as a potential comeback player of the year at plus 130 is interesting because when you look at the AP Coach of the Year, get past Eberflus at 9-1 or Jim Harbaugh at 10-1, Raheem Morris at 10-1, LaFleur at 14-1, Stecken at 14-1, DeMarco Ryans at 14-1, Robert Saleh at 18-1. So if Aaron Rodgers is the favorite for the comeback player of the year, then why not take Robert Saleh as the AP coach of the year? Because there's a good chance that Aaron Rodgers does so well that he's the comeback player of the year. All right, so let's move to the offensive rookie of the year. You got a pretty interesting layout here. Caleb Williams at plus 125, Jaden Daniels at 6-1, Marvin Jr. 7.5-1, Malik Nabers 16-1, JJ McCarthy 18-1, Shine's favorite, Drake May 25-1. I like Marvin Harrison Jr. at 7.5-1 because I don't think Caleb Williams is going to be as successful as people think in Chicago this year. And Jaden Daniels just has pretty much a bad team around him there in Washington. At least Marvin Harrison Jr. has an NFL quarterback. Whether you like Kyler Murray or not, at least you know that he's been able to throw balls and knows the NFL offense. So Marvin Harrison Jr. at plus 750. All right. Also looking at the MVP. Patrick Mahomes at 5-1, Josh Allen at 9-1, Joe Burrow 9-1, CJ Stroud 10-1, Lamar Jackson 12-1, Justin Herbert 14-1, so is Jordan Love, Dak Prescott at 16-1, Brock Purdy at 16-1, Hurts, Stafford 16-20-1, Aaron Rodgers 20-1. So if Aaron Rodgers is the AP comeback player of the year, and Robert Saleh is probably, could be the coach of the year at 18-1, why not take Aaron Rodgers as the MVP at 20-1? Because it would be kind of like that story that they messed up with the year where Brady threw for 5,000 yards and he still wasn't the MVP. I'm like, dude, the guy's 800 years old and is about to win and is damn near taking his team to the Super Bowl again. All right, so who wins the AFC? The Chiefs at plus 300 or 3-1, followed by the Ravens at 5.5-1, Bills at 7.5-1, Bengals at 7.5-1, Texans at 7.5-1. Jets at 1,200, Dolphins at 1,200. Why are the Dolphins and the Jets at the same number to win the AFC unless they believe one of these two teams will have a strong showing? I think the safe money, though, is with the Chiefs at plus 300. And then the AFC, NFC, the 49ers at plus 275. And I don't think anybody else is really in the mix. Maybe the Lions at 5.5 you look at. Chiefs to win the Super Bowl 6-1, 49ers 6.5, Ravens 10-1, Lions 12-1. I like the Chiefs to win it again at 6-1. All right, the next hour of me here on WEEI, KJ Carson, next Sunday.
Get Boston Sports Original on the go.
Wherever you go.
Just download the Odyssey app.
We're right back to it. It's KJ Carson on WEEI.
Uh-huh. Let that rock, Nico. KJWEEI, good Sunday to you. 617-779-7937. Text line 37937. Still to come, we got to talk about like this just incredible conversation going on about the Celtics and Wick's portion being for sale, and then what his portion really is. The Shaughnessy article like really has people talking about Shaughnessy like in a everybody's on Shaughnessy side. That would be a great sitcom. Everybody loves Shaughnessy suddenly, because that's damn near a 50-50 thing for some people. That's just fascinating. And I look at some of the potential pieces from the financial standpoint that it, I know what people want to happen in their hearts, but remember, this is all about what's in the pocketbook. Well, a wallet. Well, it could be pocketbook too. What? Man purse, whatever. Damn it, you get what I'm saying. Plus, I have a little more hope for the Patriots than I probably have had, I probably would say, since I've been here at the station. And that's been 3 years. And it's not necessarily because I think that Drake May is the savior. I think we saw John the Baptist first in Mac Jones. Like, okay, just got to cut this guy's head off. Maybe I shouldn't do this on a Sunday. I watched this crazy movie last night. It's called The Story of OnlyFans and Courtney Clenny. Now, if you may not know who Courtney Clenny is, Nico, a couple of years, about 3 years ago, OnlyFans star killed her boyfriend and then claimed that she had been abused, and then video came out that she was just absolutely a lunatic. She said that in self-defense, she threw a knife at her boyfriend and it stabbed him. I'm thinking, that's a superpower if you can throw a knife from a distance and stab somebody. I've never seen that before, but it was just fascinating to see. I don't know. Here, this is what I came away from it, because I've never done OnlyFans. I know people talk about it. I see people suggest people get one. It's just really the desperation of quite a few young men that exist right now who do not know how to talk to girls. And so this is what they do. Wouldn't you find it a bit spooky, Nico, that let's just say I'm a particular foreign country and I say, you know what? I'm going to go buy OnlyFans and control all the data, have access to all the data, all the photos that have been uploaded, and I've got the credit card information of everybody who's ever subscribed. And I'm a foreign adversary to this country.
No, I would say you should definitely be concerned, but I think the audience they have, KJ, probably isn't even considering that at all.
But that's how wars are being fought now. They're not manufacturing, you know, handmade bullets. You don't have Betsy Ross's great 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 granddaughter making bullets somewhere over in Holyoke. Nah, this is how they fight now. I was like, what if someone comes with an amazing offer? Hey, OnlyFans, we will give you $3 billion to turn everything over to us. Financial information, photos, identities, IPs. That would freak me out. Now, some would say, well, you can do that already with everything going on, but I don't have my clothes off with my phone. I mean, it's just absolutely fascinating. And then what was funny about this was they were talking about, I guess, this girl, what I forget, Bella something. She used to be on Disney, and she had teased that she was going to open an OnlyFans page and made $2 million just before she even uploaded any photo. And it was just like, and people were mad. And the people were mad. They were like, well, it's not fair. I take off my clothes too, just because they're famous and they make all that money. I was like, wow, we are really losing the mental war in the world. We're getting our asses kicked.
We lost that about 10 years ago.
I mean, I think it's like, it's one thing, right? If you're, let's say you're some sports site, okay? And you have all these people that talk and everything, sports or whatever. No foreign entity is going to come and say, you know what? We want to go after all these guys that talk about sports because that's something we can blackmail and use. Because, you know, like, hey, I can make my own money on OnlyFans. New company comes in and starts putting all that stuff out for free. I'm not getting paid. I'm just saying, like, how do you fall for the setup? Damn, we got to do better. 617-779-7937, text line 37937. Bets to the future next. What do you have on the text line, Nico?
We have a texter who wanted to talk about Alex Verdugo. Text says, I was a fan of Verdugo when he played for the Sox, but he was straight up walking around the bases after his home run. Dude deserves to get drilled at this point. Old school baseball on national TV, we all win.
Yeah, you want to do the plunking in prime time, so you don't do it to him in the first inning. You want that plunk to happen somewhere around 8:15, 8:30. With first pitch is at 7 o'clock?
7:10. If you do throw at Verdugo, though, they're 100% going to throw at Devers, because Devers say a similar thing to Verdugo in response.
Well, then I guess the other part of that is, do you want Devers thrown out? He's on the 15-day DL. No! It's a careful thing you have to watch. You know, the way you used to be able to do it, if you didn't want to throw to a guy and if he got on first, you just kept throwing over to first, just making him keep dive back. Just, you know, like you could subtly try and plunk him diving back to first. You know, that's real old school baseball right there. Just make him get dirty, constantly get on his belly, skin himself up, get a ball that kind of hits him or comes near him, so that way you could smack him with the glove like on the head. Like, okay, so I played a little dirty. I had a little Ty Cobb in me. So what? Yeah, I'm not a fan. When Verdugo was brought here, everybody was still kind of reeling of like, you know, gosh, Mookie's gone. What's going to help? And he helped a little bit, but I was kind of like, oh, who is this guy? And then, you know, I mean, he's mid. I mean, that's what he's mid. And you put him on the Yankees, he can hide and be a mid. But when he was here, he was a mid that you depended on to do something, and sometimes he didn't do it. And sometimes he would flash, but he can be the best mid he can be playing for the Yankees. Verdugo is probably the maybe the third or maybe the fourth name that comes out of your mouth regarding that team. But when he was here, he was like the first, he was like the second name coming out of your mouth. So, you know, go be mid with the Yankees. You do mid things. I mean, if you have to be told as a grown man to be on time, to come to work, and your job is, it's not like you're doing pothole construction or repair. You know what I mean, Nico? It's like if sometimes when these Boston summers can get intense and, you know, you're like, man, we're going to be how many floors up? I might get in here a little bit late today if I know I'm going to be in that sun. That's something different. But when you play baseball, I don't know, grass, like think about it. Your job really only requires you to hit or throw the ball. And you can't show up to work on time for that? Man, that's bull jive. All right, let's get into bets to the future. Hit it.
You're up right now. Ride it out.
Too many mouthfish.
You mean bet?
Yeah. How about 10?
Seems a little steep, but 10,000 it is.
Not 10,000. $10.
The future. I want to look at some NFL futures, and there's an interesting story developing at BetMGM in terms of where there might be some advantageous plays, and this is an interesting story, and I'll start from it at the top. AP Comeback Player of the Year. Here are your choices. Aaron Rodgers plus 130, Joe Burrow plus 240, Kirk Cousins at 5-1, Anthony Richardson at 7-1, Nick Chubb at 12-1. So while I would say, hey, Nick Chubb would be an interesting take at 12-1, you would say he probably doesn't win it because you would say for him to win it, they would probably Cleveland would probably have to win that division. I don't know if they win the AFC North. But Aaron Rodgers at plus 130, what that probably is saying, that Aaron Rodgers is doing something fascinating during the season, and the Jets may even be a division winner or a top wild card. So Aaron Rodgers as a potential comeback player of the year at plus 130 is interesting because when you look at the AP coach of the year, get past Eberflus at 9-1 or Jim Harbaugh at 10-1, Raheem Morris at 10-1, LaFleur at 14-1, Stecken at 14-1, DeMarco Ryans at 14-1, Robert Saleh at 18-1. So if Aaron Rodgers is the favorite for the comeback player of the year, then why not take Robert Saleh as the AP coach of the year? Because there's a good chance that Aaron Rodgers does so well that he's the comeback player of the year. All right, so let's move to the offensive rookie of the year. You got a pretty interesting layout here. Caleb Williams at plus 125, Jaden Daniels at 6-1, Marvin Jr. 7.5-1, Malik Nabers 16-1, JJ McCarthy 18-1, Shine's favorite, Drake May 25-1. I like Marvin Harrison Jr. at 7.5-1 because I don't think Caleb Williams is going to be as successful as people think in Chicago this year. And Jaden Daniels just has pretty much a bad team around him there in Washington. At least Marvin Harrison Jr. has an NFL quarterback, whether you like Kyler Murray or not. At least you know that he's been able to throw balls and knows the NFL offense. So Marvin Harrison Jr. at plus 750. All right. Also looking at the MVP, Patrick Mahomes at 5-1, Josh Allen at 9-1, Joe Burrow 9-1, CJ Stroud 10-1, Lamar Jackson 12-1, Justin Herbert 14-1, so is Jordan Love, Dak Prescott at 16-1, Brock Purdy at 16-1, Hurts, Stafford 16-20-1, Aaron Rodgers 20-1. So if Aaron Rodgers is the AP comeback player of the year, and Robert Saleh is probably, it could be the coach of the year at 18-1, why not take Aaron Rodgers as the MVP at 20-1? Because it would be kind of like that story that they messed up with the year where Brady threw for 5,000 yards and he still wasn't the MVP. I'm like, dude, the guy's 800 years old and is about to win and is damn near taking his team to the Super Bowl again. All right, so who wins the AFC? The Chiefs at plus 300 or 3-1, followed by the Ravens at 5.5-1, Bills at 7.5-1, Bengals at 7.5-1, Texans at 7.5. Jets at 1,200, Dolphins at 1,200. Why are the Dolphins and the Jets at the same number to win the AFC unless they believe one of these two teams will have a strong showing? I think the safe money, though, is with the Chiefs at plus 300. And then the AFC, NFC, the 49ers at plus 275. And I don't think anybody else is really in the mix. Maybe the Lions at 5.5 you look at. Chiefs to win the Super Bowl 6-1, 49ers 6.5, Ravens 10-1, Lions 12-1. I like the Chiefs to win it again at 6-1. All right, the next hour of me here on WEEI, KJ Carson, next.